And then I went to Macromedia to help build Dreamweaver to help kill the product that I had just sold to Adobe. And, you know, and everyone knows the joke was on me because Adobe bought Macromedia too, right? So anyway, so I've been around, I've been doing this HTML, CSS, and JavaScript stuff since literally the day it began.
That's Greg Ruiz, a director of product management for Lightning Components here at Salesforce. I'm Josh Burke, a developer evangelist for Salesforce, and here on the Salesforce Developer Podcast, you will hear stories and insights from developers for developers. Clearly, Greg is no stranger to HTML, CSS, and JavaScript, and today we sit down to talk about what's new in Spring 20. Now remember, we only just launched LWC a year ago, and it was announced and released at the same time. And a big part of that launch was the interactive base component library.
Well, so we've got several new things that we've been, you know, adding. And, you know, first of all, I would just go back to, you know, make sure that everyone understands that, hey, if you don't have the component library bookmarked, then you are literally missing out. Yeah, you're doing it wrong, because that is literally where, you know, that is your one-stop shop, not only for looking at all of the components that my team is delivering for you, but even being able to, you know, do things like play around with those components, whether it's right there on the components page, you know, in the mini playground, or using the actual playground. And, you know, I want to give a huge shout out to the component library team that, you know, just absolutely crushed it when they built the playground, because we now, internally on my team, we actually use the playground almost every day. As we're doing research on a bug, for example, you know, one of the things that we ask, you know, some of our support folks to do when they file a bug, you know, we want to say, hey, okay, can you show me this? Can you repro the issue? Because otherwise, I don't want my engineers, you know, wasting time trying to go reproduce a bug. If you've already found it, tell me how you found it, right?
Right. And there's something else new for Spring 20, which falls along those same lines. Think about the current cloud-based process for a UI developer working on a Lightning component-based interface. Even within Salesforce DX in the realm of Scratchworks, every time you want to see a change, you have to push it to the cloud. And depending on what you're working on, you may be trying to prove out or fix several small things before getting to see the bigger picture. And while that push might only take a few seconds, those seconds are going to be adding up time over time. So what if you didn't have to do that process? Well, introducing local development.
Local development, what is it? Well, it's actually an extension. So it is an extension that you can find the command. It is one line of code, SFDX command, and that's going to install basically a node server right here on your laptop that's connected up and ready to go. And so now, let's go back through that same process. Now, let's say I want to create a component. So in VS Code, I can just say new Lightning web component. Boom, I'm ready to rock and roll. I drop into the template or the HTML. Maybe I pop in a Lightning card and some text, right? I want to see it right now. Don't want to go through the process of putting it on a page and all that. I just need to see, is this even what I'm looking for? You know, I chose custom 85 as my icon. Is that the right one? I mean, I don't know, right? So I want to see it. Well, now, if you've installed the local development server, now what you get to do is you get to do right there inside of VS Code, you just go to the folder that holds your component. So, you know, my Hello World folder or whatever it might be. You right click, and right there at the bottom of the right click menu is a preview of your component command from SFDX. And boom, we'll take you right over into the browser, and we will launch the local development server with that component loaded up for you to look at. It's not in an org anywhere. It's not on a page anywhere. It's just there.
So that's clearly awesome and a huge shift for us and a new frontier for developing on Salesforce. And the first question that I had in my mind is, well, if it's not in an org and it only exists running off this node server, then how is it handling data?
I need data. Okay. Well, there's sort of some good news, bad news there, right? So the bad news is we're not in a position to, like, let's say I had something that was needing a record ID. Let's say, for example, you know, I'm looking at a contact and I need to know what, you know, account this contact belongs to, right? So I'm going to need to do some kind of a lookup, so, you know, get that ID. We're not quite there yet, but all I need to do is drop into my org, which is what I do, is I just drop into my org real quick. I go pull up, yeah, let's see, Josh Burke. Okay, here you go. Boom. I'll just grab your ID And then I'll just pass that statically back down. Like, let's say I've got a record form. Then for record ID, instead of doing a variable, you know, to find out what my record ID is, you know, using the UI API, instead, I'll just hard code that in there. I'll just say, for right now, while I'm developing it, here's my record form, record ID equals, and I'll hard code your record ID right in there. And boom, then it's working literally as if I was sitting in the org on that page. So it is wickedly cool.
So if I'm offline, what is the data source then?
Now you're not going to be as
I'm not as wild.
Yeah, you're not as wild there. But
it's okay.
But
I'm pretty sufficiently wild right now. Right. So,
but here's what we're looking at. We are looking at coming up with a way for you to define some mock data, right?
Okay.
So like that's what we've done in like the component library. For things like data tables, right? Well, you're not going to go out and query, you know, some data just to show that. So of course we pass that as a static JSON file, you know, data structure. And those are the kind of things that we're looking at as we move forward. So hey, I can give you a data structure right there, boom, and you're going to see it as if, you know, you were actually online. So as long as you know what that data is supposed to look like, you can mock it and pass that back down to the component.
Today's main focus is Lightning components, Lightning-based components, updates to those, some of the neat things that are coming out Spring 20. But Greg did want to give a shout out to another feature that is coming out. And while we are talking about efficiency and tooling and things like that, it's a little nifty thing you could do with SoCal.
Make a new file. Save it anywhere in your Scratch org. Actually, you can save it anywhere because I put it into my Force Ignore. But just call it josh.soCal. SOQL as your file ending. When you do that, now in VS Code, as you begin to type select, we'll code hint for you. Code hinting SOQL right there. And it gets even better because then you go, okay, that's great. I got code hinting, whatever. But did I still write it correctly, right? Is this going to return what I expect it to return? And now I know we've all gone into the developer console before and done execute anonymous and all of that. Well, now you don't even have to do that. Now, in that SoCal document, just highlight the SoCal. Let's select, you know, select contact, you know, whatever, select name from account, let's say, right? All you do is just highlight select name from account. And then there's a new SFDX command to run the SoCal command. And the output will be right there in the output window inside of VS Code. So you can check your statements before you ever commit to them. Get it?
Okay. So seriously, in the full version of this interview, I do actually laugh at, I think, pretty much all of Greg's jokes. So moving on to our next topic, I want to talk about something that we actually, as a company, talked about back at Dreamforce, and that is the open sourcing of base components. And there's a lot of reasons we've done that, but one of the reasons is to give you some insight into how we build base components so that you can learn from them.
One of the things that has been, I tell you, I don't know how many times over the last, almost 2.5 years now that I've been the product manager for Lightning Components, I must have been asked at least 1,000 times, show me the code. Let me see the code. I want to see the code. And, you know, and here's a funny thing. You know, what I generally ask back is if you come up to me and say that, then one of the questions that I've had in the past was why? What do you expect to get out of this? Why are you wanting to see the code? And look, let's be honest. How do you learn? How do I learn? Any of the coding that I've done over my entire career, whether that's HTML, CSS, or JavaScript, much of it has been learned by looking at other people's code, right? I mean, what's that old thing? You know, how does a developer code? Copy and paste.
Right.
I mean, that's.
I believe I have been quoted as saying that sometimes a Stack Exchange is my IDE.
That is exactly right. Exactly right. So this is the thing. And this is, that's a lot of folks, you know, when I would ask the question back, why do you want to see it? What are you looking to get out of it? You know, let's talk about that. Best practices, you know, how did you guys do it? Right. That's a question and discussion that I've had quite often is, hey, we're ramping up on LWC. We're looking to learn best practices.
So there's learning. There's also the ability to go into the open source components and tinker with them, tweak them, create variants of them so that you can have functionality related to them that doesn't need to be stamped officially by Greg's team. So what does it take to go through an official Lightning base component, which is a product of ours, and making it open source?
funny thing happened on the way to that feature. So initially, you know, you think, oh, well, just open source it, right? And right. What does that mean? Oh, it just means put it in GitHub and open the door, you know, make it public.
Publish, right?
Yeah, there you go. I'm done, right? Well, yeah, no, not in our not in our world, because you see, the one little gotcha to this whole thing is that our base components, whenever you write, you know, your component, you go to use a base component, what's the first word you write? Lightning. Mm-hmm. You know, whether it's Lightning colon or Lightning dash, depending on whether you're doing Aura or LWC, but the first word you write is Lightning. Mm-hmm. Well, that's the namespace that belongs to us. That belongs to me, that and my team. We are the gatekeepers of the Lightning namespace. Mm-hmm. And any of those folks out there in the world listening to the podcast here, you are an external developer, unless you work for Salesforce, but you are an external developer, and external developers simply do not have access to the Lightning namespace. And that's for good reason, because, I mean, that's the nuts and bolts. You are tied directly into the mothership at that point, right?
Right.
And so as much as we wanted to give you all of our source code, we realized that, hey, we're not going to be able to do that.
Yeah.
Because while I could give you the source code, but you're not going to be able to quote unquote compile it or use it because it's in the Lightning namespace, and you're not allowed to put a Lightning namespaced component into the system. Simply not happening, because if you made a change to your Lightning button and I make a change to my Lightning button, the one that's actually being served, who wins? Right. And there'd be conflicts and all sorts of craziness. So that's why we don't allow that. So we had to come up with a different solution. So we went back to the drawing board, said, all right, how do we do this? And so what we came across or did for you is the solution was to move those components out of the Lightning namespace. So when you go to the open source repo, you will see that those components are no longer Lightning dash button or Lightning dash data table or whatever it happens to be. Mm-hmm. These are going to be C dash button or C dash card or whatever. Right. So we actually did the hard work of doing a search and replace.
Gotcha.
All across the entire repo. And we started just by doing, okay, let's just see if we can just replace all of the Lightning with C.
I'm sure that worked the first time.
No, it didn't. Not at all. Went crashing and burning. Because then what we realized was there are certain components that have dependencies tied to the Lightning namespace, to, you know, back into the core mothership, if you will, right?
Got it.
So we had to make some hard decisions. And what that meant was, you know, I would love to give you all of the base components, but I currently am unable to because of those core dependencies.
Framing that for a moment, we've taken some of the base components, we've pulled them out of the Lightning namespace, we've put them into the C namespace and allowed you to have access to them. Now, there's one thing to think about in working with these components, and that's dependencies. And thinking about those dependencies comes in two ways. And one of them is just basically why you're not getting all of the components open source.
If you see something like Lightning input is one of the ones that sadly we were not able to open source because we have many, many, many dependencies on an accessibility library and some other things that belong to Salesforce that we can't open source at the moment.
Right. Because, I mean, it's touching right up against the data layer.
Exactly right. And so some of these things we've not been able to open source, and we were not able to put them into the C namespace for you. So I can still use Lightning dash input inside of my C dash card. But all that means is now your component will have to be running on the platform, on the Salesforce platform, for that input to actually work and be able to resolve itself and know what it's supposed to do, because it's going to call out to the Lightning namespace.
As we're talking about components here, and what are components made of? Well, typically other components. And so Greg notes that if you're going to start digging around with the open source components, you should look to see what the other components are within it so that you know what's going to come along with the ride. And the fact that you can mix and match between the open source components and the ones in the Lightning namespace, well, it has an impact on Greg's job.
So good news is, hey, I love all you guys out there embracing the components. But the bad news is that means you're going to start using them in ways that we might not have thought of. And therefore, you know, we need to address those use case scenarios. And maybe that impacts performance or whatever it might be. So it is a learning process that we all are continually in together, because we are, you know, we are all building this together. Whether you believe that your contributions to the Salesforce ecosystem are big or small, you know, I can tell you they have an impact, because the sheer fact that you're using a base component in one of your components means that now, you know, I need to be thinking of you when I make changes to any of these components. And, you know, I will tell you, the hardest part of my job is absolutely 100% the fact that we are committed to never breaking you. And this was when I took over as the product manager. That was my manager at the time. That was the first thing he said to me. He said, now just remember, in every decision that you make from here on out, there is a piece of knowledge that needs to be central in your decision-making process. And that is, you cannot break anyone. And I tell you what, that is it's a rough tightrope to walk, because you want to do the best. You want to add functionality. You want to do new things. And yet you always have to be looking in the rearview mirror.
Yeah, you want to add, enhance, and innovate, and also not break anything.
Exactly.
And that's our show. Now, before we go, I did ask Greg what his favorite non-technical hobby is. And if you know him personally, it's quite possible that you've received an invitation to it.
I live on a 45-foot sailing catamaran with my wife and our dog. And so when we are not Salesforcing, because my wife is actually the engineering manager on SLDS, she wrote the first lines of CSS for the Lightning Design System. And so when we're not Salesforcing together, then we're actually sailing together. So that is very definitely what I most enjoy.
Thanks for listening, everybody. If you want to learn more about this podcast, head on over to developer.salesforce.com/podcast, where you can see old episodes and also links to your favorite podcast service. I'll talk to you next week.